Okay, David and Anka, thanks for having me here, giving me an opportunity to speak. I'm going to have the chat window closed, David, so if there's any questions for me that are relevant to that particular moment, please just chime in and tell me the question.
Okay, will do.
Okay, so I'm Jake Bernstein. Today we're going to talk about seasonal strategies for maximum performance. I'm going to show you stocks and futures and talk a little bit about seasonals, some definitions, the record of accuracy of seasonals, and so forth. I'll try to get as much information in as possible. I will be going quickly because I have a lot of ground to cover, but David's going to be recording, so listen back to the recording. Let me do this for starters and give you the necessary risk disclosures, which you've probably seen 1,000 times and ignore each time, but the fact of the matter is there is a risk of loss in trading. Will Rogers, the famous American cowboy humorist, once said, someone asked him, how can I make money in the stock market? He said, it's easy. Find stocks that are going to go up and buy them. I'm going to show you how to do that today. But before I do that, let me say a couple of things. I've been trading for 52 years. So if I sound a little bit old today, it's because I am. In the 52 years that I've been trading, I have been all over the world. I've spoken everywhere. I've been in trading championship contests. I presented live trading seminars. I'll show you a little bit about what I've done. But the bottom line is this. Most people that I've met don't want to make money. They tell you they want to make money trading, but they don't act as if they want to make money trading. They continue to do stupid things all the time. They trade based on what they think they know, not based on what they know. Many years ago when I first started trading, we had no choice but to believe what people told us, to believe what was in a book, to believe that if you took a chart and took a ruler and a pencil or a pen and drew a trend line under that chart, that support would happen when prices came down to that level. We had no way except manually to test things. We don't need to do that anymore. We've got computers. So I encourage you, don't believe anything I tell you. Don't believe anything anyone tells you about trading until you see it yourself. You don't have to believe anything unless you can see it for a fact. And that's the good news. The bad news is people continue to be lazy and people continue to be stupid. That does not apply to anybody here. I'm sure everybody here is smart and you do the right thing. So I'm going to show you a few things today that I do. And by the way, let me say this one more thing. If you have common thinking, you will have common results. Don't think like everybody else. Common thinking means common results. Common results, you will lose money trading. Very simple. What do I mean by common thinking? Common thinking. Let's put our stop under the low. Let's put our stop above the high. Let's take the money and run. Let's just get out while we can and make a little bit of profit. Let's forget about the big moves. Let's not use a stop, and so on and so on and so on. So we will avoid common thinking. By the way, I'm speaking to you today from my home in the Santa Cruz Mountains, California. I want to say one more thing. I don't need your money. I have nothing to sell you. I only have things to tell you, and I hope that I can be convincing and help you make money. This trading business has been very, very successful for me. I've done extremely well, but that doesn't mean that I need to depend on you or any income that I get from this presentation. What I would really like to do is see you change your habits. If you're making money, I want you to make more money. If you're losing money, I want you to change it and turn into a moneymaker. So whatever it is, if I can bring some positive change to your life and your results, that does it for me. See, I'm not the richest man in the world. I'm not the best trader in the world, but I know what I'm talking about. So I've been a trader since 1967. I've written about 45 books. I'm a real trader. I trade what I teach and I teach what I trade. My work is purely technical. I do not use fundamentals. I don't look at crop reports. I don't look at earnings. I don't do any of that. Everything I do is computer-based and tested. I've taught traders all over the world, thousands of traders. I've been at over 860 seminars and webinars. I'm a board member of the Foundation for the Study of Cycles. I've been on Wall Street Week, CNN, CNBC, FNN, etc. And here's the really good news. I'm not a broker, no offense intended, or a trading advisor, just an educator. So everything I do is rule-based. As it says on the bottom of the slide, it's fact-backed and rules-based. I will not talk to you about anything I don't know. And if you're a smart trader, you will only trade based on what you know. But that's elusive because in the market, even if you think you know something, you only think you know it because it's not 100%. So can you imagine the pickle that most people are in when they trade based on what they don't know, because even what they think they do know isn't perfect. So my clients, individual traders, and some of the biggest hedge funds in the world buy research from me. Why? Because it works. It's not perfect, but it works. So let's talk about this. Art Merrill, if you've ever read his book, The Behavior of Prices on Wall Street, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't read his book, you should. Merrill talks about what he calls pre-holiday seasonality. He proved statistically that on the day before major U.S. holidays, stock prices go up. So for example, on the day before Christmas, the day before New Year's, Easter, July the 4th, Memorial Day, and so forth, the price of the Dow Jones has closed higher than the day before about 75 to 77% of the time, something that could only happen by chance once in 10,000 times. So it's not a theory. It's not the Elliott wave theory. It's not GAN theory. It's not Fibonacci theory. It's a fact. And because I only deal in facts, we can prove it or disprove it by going to the computer. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to take a look at some proof about the USA Memorial Day pre-holiday seasonal. How do we do that? We use numbers. I'm a numbers guy. I'm a statistics guy. If I can't show you something with numbers, it means nothing. And if somebody can't show you something with numbers, then it means nothing to you and shouldn't mean something to you. Someone says to you, hey, I've got a trading strategy that's been right 75% of the time. That's wonderful, but there's a whole lot of other stuff that has to go with that. And I'll show you what I mean. Let's go to the next slide. In order to be successful trading, and by the way, if there's only one thing that I can do for you today, this is it. If you understand what I'm about to show you, you don't need anything else. The good news, what I have to show you is extremely simple and true. The bad news is you probably won't believe it. You probably won't do it. And if you do it, you'll probably do it wrong. No offense intended. I use what's called setup trigger follow through. It's a trading model. And basically what it says is this. Every trade you make must have three elements to it. The first one is what I call a setup. A setup is a pattern. The good news, there's thousands of patterns. Pattern, what's a pattern? Head and shoulders, cup and handle, golden cross, death cross, support, resistance, triangle, pennant, flag, reversal, key reversal. These are all patterns. That's the good news. The bad news is, if you put a pattern on the computer and ask the question, does it work? How often has it been right? Does it have predictive validity? You'll find 98% of the patterns do not predict anything because a pattern needs a trigger. Step two, a trigger is a specific indicator that says, yes, this pattern, which has been right 71% of the time, by adding a trigger is now right 77% of the time, as an example. Once you have a setup and a trigger, you need step three, follow through. Follow through consists of three elements. Number one, stop loss. Number two, profit target. Number three, profit maximizing strategy. This is the most difficult part for people because people believe, especially in futures trading, as soon as you have a profit, take the money and run. That's not the way it works. Once you have a profit, you want to reduce your risk to zero and then maximize your profit. So we have specific profit maximizing strategies. I'll show you some of those today. Let's go to the next slide. If you went to the internet before the pandemic and you put in search short-term trading, you got 433 million hits. In other words, imagine the plight of a new trader who says, I'm going to go to the internet, excuse me, to learn how to trade. This is what they're confronted with. 433 million hits. How do you know what to do? It's very daunting. But during the internet, people had nothing to do but stay home and figure out how to trade or try to learn how to trade. They go to the internet, do the same thing, teach me day trading, and they get 2.14 billion hits. So how do you know what to do? To make things even more difficult, we're bombarded every day by expressions such as blockchain. What the hell is a blockchain? Racial equity, racial equality, critical race theory, DeFi, defund, far right, far left, QAnon, meme, FOMO, NFT, token. All of these things are just distractions. Don't pay attention to any of them. Don't bring politics into your trading or you're screwed. Trade based on facts. The facts are available and they're easy to get if you know where to find them and you know what to do with them. So let's go forward. Moment, please. So let's look at a fact. What if I showed you a specific strategy that contained everything you need, all of the history, all of the facts? As an example, we talked about pre-holiday seasonals. This is the pre-holiday Memorial Day trade in the United States. In other words, this day here was Memorial Day this year. This day here was the day before Memorial Day. This was the day before the day before. So the rule is very simple. The setup, a seasonal trade, the strategy, buy on the close of trading the day before. This was a Thursday. Get out on the close of trading the next day. It was a Friday. So that was the pre-holiday seasonal trade this year. You look at it and you say, well, it's only $540 on the futures. Well, only $540 on the futures with a high degree of accuracy means a lot. And furthermore, you can see that subsequent to that, even though we went down on Memorial Day because it was open part of the day, we opened much higher the day after, which allows us to implement part two of our strategy, which is profit maximizing strategy, which is a whole other webinar. Then you look at it and you say, but Jake, you only took this little piece over here. What if you were able to get in over here? What if this seasonal rally begins sooner? Is there a way to find out? Sure, that's what we have computers for. That's why we use different strategies. I trade five strategies: seasonals, moving average channel, divergence, commitment of traders, and 8 open and close. All strategies that I developed. So if you focus on small moves with high probability, you have confidence, but you can also find big moves with high probability. How do we do that? Let me show you. If I go to the computer and I ask the question, search for seasonal trades that begin before Memorial Day that may have a larger profit potential. Computer goes through a process. And remember, this is totally objective. This is not my opinion. This is a fact. If you really want to make money trading, deal only in facts. The computer says, since the start of trading in S&P futures, in the June contract, if you bought on the close of trading May 23rd and you got out the close of trading June the 5th, risking 2.5%, you would have been right 74% of the time. Your average profit would be 26 S&P points. Average loss, percent average profit, percent average loss, maximum consecutive wins, maximum upswing, maximum loss, etc., etc. So right here, we've already in such a short period of time covered a huge amount of information, much more information than you can get practically anywhere else where you're expecting or you're expected to believe what someone tells you. I don't expect you to believe what I tell you, as I said before, unless you see it with your own eyes. And here are the numbers. Now, remember this number here, average profit, 26 S&P points, because this is our target. Regardless of the fact that the trade has been right 74% of the time, my trade still needs step two, which is the trigger. The trigger is very easy. I will teach it to you later, or you can come to my website and get a webinar that's free where you learn the trigger. But the question is this, what do you do once you have this? Well, let me show you this. Before we go on, I want to see more information. So look, here is the history of this trade every year back to 1982, showing the average profit, average loss, every single thing. I want you to look at the track record. Here's the track record, the cumulative performance and the year-by-year performance. So I want you to look at this year, last year. Even though I've been showing this trade every year for the last 25 years, the bottom line is it's continued to work. And last year, it turned in its best performance ever. So why do I mention that to you? I mention that to you because people will always say, well, everybody knows about this. If everybody knows about it, it's not going to work. It's not true. Because everybody who knows about this, practically everybody who knows about this, will find a way to screw it up royally. So again, let's go back and look at the rule. What is the rule? The rule is buy on the close of trading May 23rd, get out on the close of trading June the 5th, risking 2.5% stop close only, and so forth. So the question is, what did it do this year? Here is the trade this year. So let me show it to you. One moment, please. Just let me move this out of the way. So this is this year. Here was the entry date. Here was the exit date right over here. And subsequent to that, it crashed. But before it did that, it reached a profit maximum of 30 points, S&P points. So 30 S&P points is $1,500. But I want you to go back and take a look at this. Hold on a second. Let me go back a couple of slides. I asked you to remember this number right over here. 26. Where did it go? One moment. Right over here. Average profit, 26 points. So what happened? It achieved its profit of 26 points. In fact, exceeded it. And then it went down. So if you had as your first profit target the 26 points, you got out of part of your position or all of your position. Place the stop at break even. You're out of danger. That's all it is. It's over. If you decided to keep some of your position, no problem. This was the exit date right over here. So what I'm showing you is not perfect, but it's very effective. And it's a strategy based on setup, trigger, and follow through. It's complete in what it tells you to do. It has every element. So let's go forward and look at something else. Patterns are the language of the markets. So what I'm showing you today is just one pattern. It's a seasonal pattern. There are many other patterns. There are leading patterns, lagging patterns, time current patterns, and so forth. So our job is to find patterns that work. Patterns that work are algorithmic. They can be expressed in rules. If you cannot express it as a rule, don't trade it. So I want you to think about it. Don't trade anything that you don't understand. Don't take anybody's word on faith. Take it only on fact. Facts over faith. Let's go to the next slide. Remember the setup, trigger, and follow through. So let's talk about seasonality. Seasonality is statistically valid. We can't change history. But if the seasonal is available and you know all the statistics, you know what you're getting into before you get into it. I want you to think about something. People call me up and they say, Jake, I'm so worried about my gold trade. I say, well, what are you worried about? They say, I'm worried I'm going to get stopped out. It's a big loss. Well, listen, the time to worry about a trade is before you make it. If you worry about a trade after you've made it, it clearly indicates you have not understood the risk. When I put on a trade, I am automatically assume when I put on that trade that it's a losing trade, and I deduct the loss from my account and assume that money is no longer there. That's what you need to do. So statistically, seasonals is not a theory. As I said before, it's a fact. Compare what you know about seasonality. In fact, compare what you know about any of my trading methods, which some of you know and some of you don't, with everything else. It's not subject to interpretation. And let me say one more thing. If I teach you something and set you loose and say, look at this chart, look at these numbers, and tell me your conclusion, and we don't consult with each other, then we come back and we discuss it. If we don't reach exactly the same conclusion, then either one of two things is happening. Either I'm a bad teacher, or you're a bad student, or the rules that I gave you are not clear and you had to interpret. The dirtiest word in the trading lingo is interpretation, okay? Words such as looks like, on the cusp of, approximate support, approximate resistance. I have no use for any of that stuff. Don't do it. So we trade with 100% objective rules and procedures and implement them consistently. Let's talk about consistency. People say, at the end of the day, I do a scan. I scan 10,000 stocks and I come up with opportunities and I trade those opportunities. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the wrong thing to do. You need to find some stocks or futures and trade them consistently and take all of the signals in the method that you're using in those particular stocks or futures. Don't jump around all over the place, because if you do that, you're going to miss the opportunity when it's there. Think about that. And above all, we manage risk. People say, well, Jake, I'm a good trader. You want to know why I'm a good trader, Jake? Why? Because I know when to take my losses. That's totally stupid. You need to know how to maximize your profits. It's okay to know when to take your losses, of course. But if you're not maximizing your profits, you're going to get nowhere. You'll still be in this business 15, 20 years from now, working 4 hours at the end of the day, maybe 7 hours on the weekend, and making a few bucks and saying, why the hell am I not making any money? It's because you're not practicing profit maximizing strategies. And that's one excuse. And people say, hey, Joe, the reason you're not making money is you don't have discipline. Joe says, yeah, you know, that's true. I don't have discipline. Where am I going to get discipline? Are you going to get discipline by reading a book? You're going to get it out of a book? I wrote a book called The Investor's Quotient. It's still selling. It's about the psychology of trading. That was my first book many years ago. You're not going to get discipline out of that book. Are you going to get discipline by going to a psychiatrist and laying on the couch and talking about your improper potty training? No, it's not going to happen. Psychiatrists can't give you discipline. Discipline doesn't come from a course. It doesn't come from a book. It doesn't come from faith. It doesn't come from a motivational speaker. Discipline comes from confidence. Okay, where does confidence come from? Confidence comes from knowing what you're doing. Where does knowing what you're doing come from? Knowing what you're doing comes from specific, clear rules, practice, and experience. Once you do that and you have confidence, you have discipline. The more discipline you have, the more confidence you'll have. The more confidence you have, the more money you'll make. The more money you make, the more discipline you'll have. And it goes around and around and around. So confidence leads to discipline. Very, very simple. Let me say one more thing. A great trader told me many years ago, and by the way, I did not have a teacher. No one taught me how to trade. It took me 15 years of floundering around with all the crap that's out there, reading books from the library and listening to newsletters and so forth. It took me 15 years to realize how to trade. It took me 15 years to realize that it was all about the numbers. One of the things that a great trader once told me was this: Jake, in order to make money trading, you have to not care. What? Did I hear that right? Have to not care? That's right. You have to not care about making money. Well, wait a minute. That sounds counterintuitive. How could I not care about making money? Well, the more you care, the more you'll be attached to your trades. The more attachment you have to your trades, the more emotional you'll be. The more emotional you are, the worse your decisions will be. You have to not care. So today, when I put on a trade, and I trade practically every day, I put it on, it's meaningless to me. Why? Because I know that if I lose money on that trade, or even 10 trades, or 15 or 20 trades, it's not going to make any difference to me. It's not going to affect my lifestyle. So here's another chart. This is the pre-holiday Christmas trade. I'm sorry, Thanksgiving trade for many, many years, showing the track record. So we can research those and we can find exact entries and exit and play by the rules. We already talked about this. Here's the Christmas trade, 69% accurate and so forth. So what do I do? And what do I suggest for you? You want to have clarity, objectivity, proof of concept, proof of procedures, exact rules and potential outcomes, no looks like. Anytime you find yourself saying something like, looks like the market wants to go up, ask yourself the question, what the hell does that mean? What looks like something to me may look like something entirely different to you. There is no looks like. Someone says to you, I've got this great method. It's based on a myth or magic. No. Interpretation? No. Precise entry and exits? Yes. Exact determination of risk and reward? Yes. Profit maximizing? Yes. You've heard it all before. Now what you need to do to improve your procedures is to practice. So let me show you what I do. I go to one of my websites called seasonaltrader.com. And at the website, I do a search. I'm saying to the computer, show me for the S&P 500 trades for May and June that are high accuracy. computer takes the information, comes to a search, and gives me this right over here. This is a trade that I showed you before, and it gives me all the possibilities for these trade, for this trade. In other words, for the trade that meets my criteria. Because the computer has been programmed correctly, it takes the best trade and puts it in the first position. So even though there are many, many possibilities, it gives me the best one, and I act accordingly. I determine, am I willing and able to take this risk? So let's talk about risk. What if you don't want to take the risk of S&P futures closing against you by 2.5% from your entry? Okay, there's the micro S&P, there's a call option, there's a call spread, there's a binary option, many different ways to participate, and of course there's a couple of ETFs that you can use. So once you have the information and you know what to do, you can adjust the risk here level accordingly. One more point of information. Don't take any trade that scares you. Example, one of the markets that has always scared the hell out of me has been palladium. Even though I've been able to correctly predict the biggest moves in history in palladium, it's not a market. Excuse me. It's not a market I'm willing to trade. Why? Because a futures market that moves $10,000 in one day is not something that makes me feel good. Therefore, I will not trade it. Don't trade anything that scares you. It's another interesting little rule. So let's go to the next slide. Hold on a moment, please. So this is the entire history. I showed that before. So what is seasonality? It's a tendency for prices to move in a certain direction at certain times of the year. And that tendency, as you can see, is very specific, and it occurs in all markets. Let me back up and show you a couple of things. In order to get where I am today, I've spent a lot of time and a lot of money on research. What kind of research? Easy. Does it work? Are there patterns? So let me tell you what I found. Closing-based moving averages are highly unreliable. They're very inaccurate. I'm going to show you some numbers momentarily. Fibonacci and Elliott Wave, they're sexy, but they don't work for me, and I've never been able to make them work. Traditional chart patterns don't work because they're not specific. Market geometry, such as corrections down, corrections up, doesn't work for me. Astrology, give me a break. The market profile theory. If you have some time and some motivation, read the work of J. Peter Stottlemyre called Market Profile. Fascinating work. It explains how markets really work, but you have to be able to take that theory and turn it into practice, which is very difficult to do. Cycles, seasonality, and the commitment of traders report works extremely well for futures. I'm showing you seasonality today. The setup, trigger, and follow through trading model works extremely well. Learn it. And as I said before, if there's only one thing that I can teach you today, it's the setup, trigger, follow through. Market sentiment, in other words, contrary opinion, works extremely well. Volume-based patterns work well, but they're hard to specify with rules. Divergence is extremely accurate. But here's the thing. I respectfully submit to you that over the next few years, artificial intelligence, deep learning will replace almost everything that we know right now. So let me give you a heads up. Learn how artificial intelligence works. Get a program that will help take all of your indicators, all of my indicators, all of the factors that we know are effective and accurate, and turn them into an AI program and use AI to help you trade the markets. Most of my clients, my bigger clients, are already using AI to help make decisions and to improve what they're doing. So that's just a little heads up. So let's talk about this. There are many different types of seasonals. Daily, weekly, monthly key dates, which I've been showing you, holiday clusters, which I've been showing you, and the month, start of month, spreads and earnings based. Let me show you something that most people don't talk about. Here is a seasonal chart of the Dow Jones monthly from 1901 to 2017. So we're talking about a few years here. This shows what the Dow Jones has done on average different times of the year by month, so forth. The largest part of the year in terms of seasonal probability is the last few months of the year, October, November, December. But April has also been a big month. So what happened after this chart? Because it ends in 2017. Here's 2018, and here's 2019, and here is what happened in 2020 to 21. So here is that seasonal move in April right over here. So we were able to take long periods of history, and we were able to find big moves. Let me show you something you might be interested in, and then I'm going to take a break for questions. Here's a seasonal trade right now. It is a trade that's been right 81% of the time, going short September coffee. That trade is based on this tendency right over here. If we took the September coffee futures contract from 1974 to 2018. This is what the chart would look like. From the end of May until the end of June and on into July, the market crashes. So think about this before you answer. Within the context of what I showed you, is this a setup, a trigger, or a follow-through? Think about it before you answer. It's a setup. Even though this is a big move, and even though the move is very clear in terms of what happens, this trade needs to trigger. So before I go short coffee, which has been going up and is ready to go down, I need the trade to trigger. So remember, don't just go short coffee or whatever it is, always use the trigger. So let's go go back and look. What happens? This is the history of the trade, and this is the follow-through right over here. How did we find that trade? Easy. I went to the computer and I said, show me trades for coffee. Computer comes up and shows me those trades. How did this trade do last year? Here's the trade last year. Here's the trade in 2020. And so far in 2021, we don't have any results because we're waiting to see what happens. So David, Anka, I'm going to take a break for questions and see if there are any. If there are no questions, let me know. No questions? Okay. No problem.
No. I think you already talked about this, but earlier, or right when you started, someone asked, what do you think about precious metals if the dollar should rally?
What do I think about precious metals if the dollar should rally? Well, I don't think about it. I just go with the timing indicators. So I don't know. Whatever the indicators tell me to do, I will do that. Right now, we are long the dollar. We are long the precious metals on an intermediate term basis, and we'll see how it goes. So that's the best I can say. So let me go forward. Let's take a look at another trade. Here's another trade in the S&P that's been right 85% of the time since the start of trading, October 26th to January the 16th. Now, for most traders, this is a long-term trade. Why? Because they can't stand to be in a trade this long unless it's a losing trade. Traders like to get out of their profits quickly and keep their losses till they grow hair on them. So let me show you something. October 26th to November to January the 16th. Where does that come from? That comes from right over here. Show you right away. This is the composite chart of the Dow Jones showing the end of the year rally encompassing that period of time. So let's go forward. I have a few more things to show you. A moment, please. Yeah, so there's the S&P trade. Okay, so here. The second most important thing that I can do for you today is this. I'm going to go through a list of things that you must know before you trade. I will assure you, if you can find out the information that you need on this list before you make any trade, your trading will improve vastly. If you're making money, you're going to make a lot more. If you're losing money, you're going to turn it around. Before I trade, I want to know which market to trade. I want to know whether to buy or sell. I want to know the exact time to buy or sell within 1 minute, by which I mean the seasonal trades, for example, get in on the close of trading. The profit target can be hit at any time. The exit is on the close of trading. That's very specific. I don't want to have to look at a chart and think about where to get in. I want facts. I want to know my odds of success. I want to know my average profit and my average loss. I want to know my stop or my risk. Let me give you an example. Somebody calls me and they say, hey, Jake, I bought some gold today. I say, okay, why did you buy gold? Because there was a buy trigger. Okay, good. You did right. So what's your stop? I'm going to risk $500. So why are you going to risk $500? Well, because that's all I can afford to lose. So you bought gold because you're going to risk $500 because that's all you can afford to lose. So your stop is based on what you can afford to lose? Yeah, my broker told me that's the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to base the stop on what the strategy tells you. The market doesn't give a damn about what you can afford to lose. If you're trading gold with a $500 stop and the trading range is $2,500 during any given day, you're going to get stopped out. So you have to know the stop loss based on the history of the trade. You want to know the profit to loss ratio, by which I mean, are you making more money when you're making money than you're losing when you're losing? You want to have a track record. You want your average profit, your average loss. You want to know what's the largest profit or loss a strategy has ever produced. You want to know your maximum drawdown. What do I mean by that? What is the most amount of money this trade has lost in sequential losses, consecutive losses? Why does that make a difference? I'll tell you why. Most people can't handle losing money more than 3 times in a row. Here's what happens to the typical trader, especially nowadays that people have stimulus checks and they open accounts and they start trading. They lose money the first time. They say, well, it's not a perfect game. I didn't expect to make money right out of the box, so I'm going to take another trade. They take another trade. They lose money again. They're saying, you know what? This is not so much fun anymore. This is not what I expected. When I saw that E-Trade commercial and I saw the man sitting at his computer in his kitchen and his kids were going crazy, he looked pretty happy. He must have been making money. To lose 2 times in a row, well, you know what? Discipline's important, so I'm going to take it a third time. They lose money a third time and they say, 3 times in a row, I lost money? Forget about it. I'm using the wrong trading strategy. I'm going to change my strategy. Well, guess what? In trading, even the best strategies will lose 6 times in a row. If you're not ready to lose 6 times in a row, you're not ready to play the game. So let's go to the next slide. You want to know the number of consecutive losses, the number of consecutive profits, the accuracy of the strategy, your maximum potential loss, your maximum potential profit. You want to know when to take your profits. You want to know when to move to a zero stop. Everything that you need to know is on this list. I respect respectfully suggest to you that most of you don't know even half the things that are on this list. But if you do, that's great. If you don't, please take my list seriously, because nothing will improve for you unless you know most of these things. Well, how do you find these things? They're all findable. We've got computers. We ask questions. Most trading strategies, most trading software has trading strategy evaluation. You can test things. So you want to know the facts. So these are the facts. Okay. So here's coffee. We talked about that before. So stocks, we've got strategies and seasonals and stocks. Here's a seasonal trade in Microsoft showing the average profit, average loss, the percentage accuracy, everything we want to know. So let me continue because I have a few more things to show you before I run out of time because I realize this has been a little bit quick. Check this out. Here's a seasonal chart showing two periods of the year, March and April, and October, November, and December. Looking at this chart, these green arrows show the percentage of time up or down during this period of time. So we know by computer, this historically has been the most bullish time of the year for Microsoft. We know that this has been a bullish time too, but we know that the move has not been big. So that's one way to evaluate it exactly in terms of size. Let me go to the next slide. I'm going to skip these for a moment. Here's another one. We know that copper from February 20th through March 20th has been right a high percentage of the time. How do we know that? We search it on computer and we get the results. Here is another S&P trade, February 5th through February the 15th. And so what I'm showing you here is another way to take money off out of the market. If you're interested in that, I can give you further information on that. So let's go to something else for just a moment. We've talked about setup trigger follow through. Let's talk about this. And this is the crux of the matter. If you watch business TV, CNBC, Bloomberg, etc., I know how these shows work. I've been on them. I've been on CNBC quite a few times. Here's the problem. Newscasters who were reporters just a few years ago have suddenly become financial experts. They talk about things they don't know. They say, well, the market's going to go up because we have a golden cross. The 50-day moving average crossed above the 200-day moving average, so we're going to buy. Or they talk about the death cross, the 50-period moving average drop below the 200-day moving average. So it's one thing to talk about this stuff. That's the good news. The bad news is, does it work? Let me show you the reality. I told you that I'm a numbers person. I want to see these things in numbers. So here's a chart of the 50-day and the 200-day. The red line is the 50-day moving average. The blue line is the 200-day moving average. When the red goes above the blue, you buy. When the red goes below the blue, you sell. So what happens? You say, well, look at how much money it made here. This is great. But over here it reversed, over here it reversed, over here it reversed. So it's not a question of how much money it looks like it's made. What we want to do is do the numbers. Here are the numbers. 27% accuracy, 11 consecutive losses, three consecutive profits, and so forth. So this is what it's really all about. You might say, well, I'm not interested in this strategy. Of course not, because after three losses, you're either out of patience or you're out of money. So is there anything we can do that's more specific? Well, let's do this. Let's go to the next slide and look at the track record again and talk about this. Here is the same situation, but it made money. How did it make money? One moment, please. How did it make money? Very simply, by winning consecutive three times, losing consecutive three times, once, and so forth. So it's a much more effective strategy with 60% accuracy. Can we do better than that? Sure we can. Let me show you. One moment, please. And so we change slides here. Compare the results. Here is a simple strategy that I developed using a pattern. It's the outside bar pattern, by which I mean we trade above the high of the previous day, below the low of the previous day. That's called an outside bar. It's an algorithmic. It's a rule. And then we close above the high of the previous day, and then we get a trigger. That strategy has been correct 84% of the time for 673 trades. But you say, but the average trade's only been $230. That's right, because you're only in the trade for about 3 days. I want you to look at the average with the most consecutive losses is 3, most consecutive wins is 28. So when you're looking at track records, this is the kind of information you want to look at, and you want to see the performance history. When you see the performance history, you want to look specifically at what has been the drawdown. In other words, what's the worst case scenario? These are all little drawdowns. Would you have been scared out of the market or wiped out during these drawdowns? Those are the questions you have to answer. So again, before you trade, you want to have this kind of information. Do you need all of this information? No, but you do need to have most of it in order to be successful with your trading. Otherwise, it's not going to work for you. you. So let me go to the next slide a moment, please. What I'm giving you is an overview of what I do, just as an example. So if you trade a combined portfolio, stocks and futures, you will get much better results. So here's a combined portfolio. I took my best seasonal trades in stocks, my best seasonal trade in futures, and generated this portfolio, which is very effective and very accurate. You can see that if you combine stocks with futures, you get better results. Let's go to the next one. We also know that by doing seasonal research, we can find trades like this. High probability trades that are short term, 3 weeks in a row, 2 weeks in a row, 1 week down, or many weeks in a row, very specifically. And we can research all of these at seasonaltrader.com. Let me show you an interesting one. Heating oil. Look at this chart. By now, in terms of what I've shown you, you know what to look for. You know that this is what I call a seasonal run. It basically says that from the second week of March until the third week of April has been a very bullish period of time for heating oil, and the probability of success has been very high. We can go to the computer, and by doing a search, we can find the exact entry date, the exact exit date, the average profit, the average loss, everything that I showed you before. And let me show you this. This chart was made before this happened. Here is the trade this year, okay? The entry date, the exit date, and it falls through to the upside very exactly. And here's the best part. After the trade was over, it continued, giving us the opportunity to maximize the profit with a trailing stop. So when we do seasonaltrader.com, we do a search. In other words, percent win, 75, profit to loss, number of days in trade, and so forth. And then we use a moving average chart and moving average 8, close 8 open for a trigger. And I want you to bear in mind, this moving average that I'm using is not the traditional moving average, by which I mean a crossover. We're using a moving average close, moving average open, which is an entirely different trading method. Let me go forward and do this. When we talk about seasonals, I want you to remember this. Number one, seasonals are specific, they are back-tested and historically valid. Number two, seasonals are based on fundamentals. The fundamentals make them happen, but we don't need to know what the fundamentals are in order to make a profit. Number three, the setup trigger follow-through strategy is extremely important, and if you apply that to what you're doing, you will be much more successful. Final determinant is risk. Never take a trade if the trade scares you from the beginning, otherwise you're going to lose money. In order to trade successfully, you have to have what's called emotional detachment, or you have to be clinically dispassionate, by which I mean don't be married to your trades. Let me go through one more thing for you, just a moment, please. I'm going to go to the chat and see if there's any questions for me. Somebody wants me to show slide number 41. Okay, what about correlations and seasonality? If you can expand on that question, I'll be glad to answer it. I'm going to go back to slide 41, market sentiment. Okay, let me answer the market sentiment question. We do a survey out of this office and have done so every day since 1987. We survey small traders. We find that when a small trader is 80% bullish or more, we're close to a top. When we find that the small trader is 15% bearish, 15% bullish or less, we are close to a bottom. So we use sentiment as the leading indicator. I'm going to go to chart number, slide number 41. So just bear with me for a second if I can find it. Chart number, slide number 40. There's 41. Was there a question about 41? And by the way, I'm glad to make this presentation available to you if you want it. You can send it to David and you can write David and he can send you the PowerPoint. Was there any question about 41? Okay, so I'm open to all questions at this time. I hope I've given you some good ideas and I've given you some things to think about. Copper chart, okay? The copper chart. One moment, please. The grains have a seasonal now. Yes, the seasonal in grains now, believe it or not, is down and it has not triggered yet. In fact, it's coming up in the next few days. Copper chart, I think copper chart is. One moment, please. We'll find that copper chart, wherever the hell it is. It's somewhere over here. Just bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you know what? I can't find the damn copper chart. If somebody remembers where it is, let me know. There we go. Here's copper. Okay, so what do you want to know about the copper chart? Okay. Any questions? The problem is you can't. That's not true. You know what the stop is before you take the trade. If the stop is too big, you don't trade it, or you trade an option, which defines your risk to the maximum that you paid for the option. So there is no problem. It's not a problem. It's an asset. How do you pick the entry? The computer picks the entry for you. It tells you what to do. Then you wait for a trigger, and the trigger tells you that the trade has been confirmed. Just wanted to see it on Microsoft. Microsoft, wherever that is. Well, you get the presentation, so if you write David, he'll send you the PowerPoint, and you'll see the Microsoft. I just wanted to clarify. So the problem with the seasonal is not the wide stop. You can set the stop for anything you want so that you know that ahead of time. The next chart is Microsoft. Okay, sure. Hold on a second. Thank you. Microsoft. Okay, there's the Microsoft chart. What did you want to know about Microsoft? I believe these were the statistics on Microsoft. Let me go back a little bit. Here you go. Is this the one you wanted to see? Okay. So, David, by the way, I am having, you know, a good resource. I mean, look at the question. Start learning by using it. You know, there's so much stuff about AI. You're probably better off going to the internet and looking up some information there. And in fact, if you write me, Jake, at trade-futures.com, I'll be glad to give you some resource information. Let me go to the last slide. In case you're interested, I am going to be having a webinar on cycles, which is another strategy that I use. If you're interested in it, this is where you can get information on it. One moment, please. You might be interested in cycles. If you are, that's fine. No big deal. Cycles are very important because most markets move in cycles, and seasonality is one example of cycles. So, David and Anka, I'm ready for final questions. If there are any, otherwise, I'm done.
Hey, Jake, do you have that link? Because you just put the words register now in the chat. Do you know what the actual link is?
I'm pretty sure.
What the URL is?
It should be right over here. One moment, Dave.
Yeah, that's only copying the words. It's not copying the URL.
I thought I had the URL. Tell you what, David, I'll send you the URL later today.
Okay. Sounds good.
If you're only coming as proof of possible correlation between two houses, there's a kind of opposition. I'm not sure I understand the question, Evangelos, so send me an email and I'll be glad to answer it. David and Anka, thanks for the opportunity. I hope everyone's learned something from me.